Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And we got, you're going to be glad you're with me too, because we got Scott Patterson back on the show. Scott's he's one of the newer members of our Brain Trust. He is a former reporter with the Wall Street Journal. He's the author of the explosive, exciting, very important book, The Quants, How a New Breed of Math Whizzes Conquered Wall Street and Nearly Destroyed It. And nearly destroyed the economy on top of that. That's my little editing that I stuck in there. And as I say, he's our good friend Scott Patterson. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Thanks a lot for having me back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. They nearly destroyed everything else. You know, when I think, Scott, when I think about the pain and the anguish, when I think about Wall Street and Washington, when I think about, and not that there's not some complicity on Main Street. There is. There was. But primarily, when I think about, you know, between the Fed, between Washington, between Wall Street, to set up the kinds of scenarios, the kind of circumstances that allowed this economy to get to the point that it got to, and then crash. And when I think about as I move around on Main Street and I see the mayhem that has created the family anguish and pain and everything, it really is hard for me not to get angry. What do you think?
Right. Well, everybody has good reason to do that, and I think that it's probably one of the most damaging, lasting effects of what's happened over the past few years is that everybody has lost their trust in the people at the wheel.
The institutions.
The institutions in Washington, the institutions in Wall Street. And it's not like everybody totally believed that all these people knew exactly what they were doing, but I think there was an inherent faith that there were fairly intelligent, responsible people that that knew what they were doing. They were maybe somewhat reckless at times, but they weren't going to blow things up. And obviously, that trust is completely wiped out.
Yep.
People
yep.
do not believe that that there's anybody who's really knows what they're doing in charge anymore.
Well, see, I never gave them the kind of credit that where I, you know, I deified them. I've said for decades that Washington doesn't know what the heck it's doing, especially with regard to the economy, the marketplace. They have no clue about how the marketplace works. But I you always presume that even in their deficiencies, that they were acting in the best interest of people. You know, there's, I tell my folks, you know, if I don't live up to expectations, if I don't do a good job running my company, it's either because of my deficiencies or because I made a mistake trying in the best interest of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I felt about Washington and Wall Street is, you know, if they messed up, it was because they just weren't smart enough or good enough or fast enough and wouldn't know who is,
right.
And that they made a mistake trying to do something right.
Well,
but,
I think in a lot of ways,
that illusion is gone now, isn't it?
I think it's a human failure, and it's also a reflection of the situation that we've gotten ourselves in with this huge boom in complexity and these quantitative strategies that everybody's using that I write about in the book. Is we've gotten to a point where we're basically conducting a vast experiment on the United States and the global economy using these complex financial products,
yeah,
and market structures. And that's really, you know, what I've moved on to now is, after I've left the Journal, is started working on the legacy and the history of the stock market, mm-hmm, and other markets that we have now that have become completely dominated by high-speed electronic trading and very complex strategies, which was something that
which lends itself to, and pardon my use of the word, folks, but I don't have any other way of saying it, really. It lends itself to amoral behavior, doesn't it? Is that over the top to use that term?
It's debatable. I think that's something that a lot of people are trying to figure out, and it may depend on what you believe.
When I say immoral, I don't mean malicious. I just mean lack of a moral compass.
Well, you know, a lot of these people that are doing these things have, fairly credible, self-justifying explanations for what they're doing.
Self-justifying, that's the word. Hold on to that thought, Scott. I'm going to let you come back to that right after these messages. I'm going to pick right back up with Scott Patterson after these messages, folks. 20 till. The book is called The Quants. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. The articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, the knowledge base, AskJim.biz. My blog is there. The newsletter, I hope you subscribe to that. You can see what a copy of it looks like there on the homepage, and we'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead, and also our poll question. We have a poll question there on the homepage that you can click on and answer the question and see how the poll's going so far. And each week it's a different question. And we're having a great visit with our good friend Scott Patterson, the author of The Quants. And the Quants are a bunch of math whizzes that have been able to take technology and their mathematical genius, most of them are geniuses, and create algorithms, to create structures that basically, Scott, is what creates flash trading, right?
Flash trading, that's something that's a controversy that rose up last year, that it's something that's used by these electronic exchanges. And
was it like a thousand trades a second or a million trades a second or something ridiculous like that?
These guys are trading at rates that just boggle your mind. It's measured in microseconds, which is, I think, a millionth of a second.
Wow.
Is how fast they trade. So they're sending thousands and thousands of orders to exchanges every second.
And is this what happened May the 6th?
I think it's involved
tell the audience what happened May the 6th.
Right. On May the 6th, sometime around 2:40 Eastern time, the market essentially crashed, and the Dow Industrials lost about 1,000 points.
In 15 minutes.
Right. Actually, the biggest decline you could measure in just a couple minutes. It happened so quickly. The market essentially just imploded.
And how did that happen? I mean, can you explain anything about that?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different...
I mean, I don't think any official resolution has come out, has it?
The SEC expects to put out a report in about a month and a half or 2 months. We, the Journal, actually ran an article last week that I helped write that gave our side of it after conducting about 3 months of research and reporting. And we basically found there were a number of factors. People were very scared about what was going on in Europe and selling heavily. But one of the main...
This is because of the sovereign debt issues in Europe.
Right, in Greece and some other countries,
right.
There
mm-hmm.
were fears that it would spread and Europe would basically just, go up in smoke.
Right.
So one of the major factors that we found was because of all the volatility and all of these massive amount of orders flying around the system, the computer systems essentially started seizing up and slowing down, and that created some problems for these high-frequency traders who need to get their data instantly. Once the data started getting bad, they basically turned their computers off, and that created a kind of an air pocket.
Wow.
In the market,
so it bollocked up the market.
These are guys who are now the new market makers. So
yeah.
you had some of the major players in the market just back away, And as all the selling was going on, there was nobody to step in to buy. And this is a product of really decades of new strategies and new techniques to invest, and also initiatives created by the SEC itself.
And see, Scott, this is where I talk when I back over the years, over the last few years, when I've talked about Wall Street being at cross purposes with Main Street, but without knowing, you know, that was just an instinct, just the way I saw things happening, without really understanding. I didn't understand about the quants or the flash trading. I knew that there was some electronic capability that was putting greed and fear and greed on steroids, which is what the problem is. See, this is all about nothing has really changed in terms of human nature. Fear and greed is still dominating, and for thousands of years, Scott, it's been a beneficial thing in most cases. And whenever it got off the rails, it only affected a limited amount of folks because they couldn't leverage that fear and greed very much. But now with electronics, now with technology, they can leverage that fear and greed to an exponential level that creates the kind of chaos we've had in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Am I right about that?
I think absolutely, especially with the larger financial institutions, the giant hedge funds and the banks, and the banks especially just completely went off the rails.
Well, exactly. And speaking of that, Scott, I've been told that in 2007, the bank, Wall Street Bank bonus pool was $100 billion. $100 billion. And I was told in 2009, a year after they got bailed out, that the bonus pool was back up to $100 billion.
Right. Well, I think 2009 was the most profitable
small business
year in the history
owners,
of banks.
Small business owners were not back up to their level in 2009. We're still not back up to the levels of 2007 and 2010. And so tell me, Scott, what's wrong with that picture? Why should I not be kind of angry about that?
Well, I think you should be. You know, the bailouts of the banks, Scott, were intended to create liquidity in the banking system that would trickle down essentially to the small businesses.
But that wasn't what was put in the contract, though.
The banks were not lending; they were using the money to fund their own trading and
to acquire other banks and to make acquisitions.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we gave them the money, folks, in 08 and 09 to do what Scott just said, but we didn't say, now, this is what see here, it's in the contract. When you sign this, you have to use this money. What happened was that that wasn't put in the contract, in the TARP contract, and they used it however they wanted to, and therefore the economy did what it did. Quick break, right back with Scott Patterson. I'm going to try to settle down after these messages. The book is called The Quants. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
When the night has come and the land is dark.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Scott Patterson is our guest. He's the author of The Quants. And we're talking about this conflict between Wall Street and Main Street, and actually a complicity, in my opinion, Scott, a complicity between Wall Street and Washington against Main Street. Now I'm not sure saying that they woke up one morning and said, let's get Main Street. I just think that the complicity between those two, meaning Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all that, and I think that wound up being detrimental to Main Street. What do you think?
Right. Well, I believe that it's really hard to know what was going on in the minds of a lot of these people that were designing this system, but at least in their public testimonies and what they, at least the financial institutions, told Washington, and I think Washington totally drank the Kool-Aid, was that this was all meant to benefit Main Street, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were designed to help foster the real estate market,
right,
because they were buying mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
But
they were also allowed to lobby Congress.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about that. Now that they've been absorbed by government, the government's de facto come in and taken ownership of them. They were lobbying their own parent, basically. I mean, talk about a conflict of interest.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Congress is totally captured by Fannie and Freddie, and I don't totally believe the story that Fannie and Freddie created the mortgage mess, and people can debate that issue.
Yeah.
It's my opinion that it was more the Wall Street banks that got into the subprime mortgage market.
And created the products. They created the demand for more.
That's when, if you look at when this thing really took off, it was in early 2000s, around 2001.
Right.
At the same time, large Wall Street banks jumped in the game full force and started buying mortgages, creating these complex CDO products that
don't forget the Fed, in reaction to 9/11, the Fed liquefied the marketplace.
Right.
And basically didn't ease up. I mean, Steve Forbes on this show several times in that period of time said the Fed needs to tighten up. There's too much liquidity in the marketplace. This is going to be a problem. He forecast this 7-8 years ago.
There were also other forces at work. Do you remember the conundrum that Alan Greenspan talked about?
Yep. Yep.
As they started raising interest rates, long-term interest rates were not going up, and it was sort of a paradox. And what you had was liquidity all around the world actually being created by countries like
Central
China
mm-hmm.
and other emerging markets
right.
that started flowing all throughout the financial system and keeping interest rates low. So it's something of a complex picture. It's not just the Fed. It's not just Fannie
right.
and Freddie.
Right.
There were a lot of things going on, but I really do think that the banks were not responsible, which is pretty obvious now,
right.
in how they were handling all of this liquidity by creating these complex
mm-hmm.
products. They basically thought they were in a new world where money was just always going to be there to
right.
be had, and then all of a sudden it dried up.
Which is not that much different from 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, but now they have the buttons to push to leverage it in milliseconds. And that's,
right.
to me, that's what the problem is. Human nature hasn't changed, Scott. We're still, human beings are the same now as they were 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, but we now have the technology to leverage that fear and greed. I think that's the difference.
Right, and I it's my belief that a lot of these people who are running these institutions just do not fully understand the impact of what they're doing on
right.
the markets and on the economies.
And what's the answer?
As a reporter, I get to talk to a lot of these different people
right.
and see that some of them know a certain corner of the market and others know another corner, but nobody has a full picture.
Right.
And the regulators don't either.
How do we stop this, Scott? I got a minute left. What do we do?
I wish I knew. I think that it's something that's it's really got a life of its own, and
Are you saying we're doomed?
Well, I think that everybody needs to stop and think really hard about what's going on
mm-hmm.
and what the impact can be, and somehow try to get over that greed factor that you're talking about, which
yep.
is that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, it is. Hey,
especially
Scott,
when things seem to be going well.
Give us the website, Scott.
It's ScottPattersonReports.com.
ScottPattersonReports.com. The book is The Quants. It's a fascinating book, folks, and you can find it wherever books are sold. Hey, Scott, thanks for being here. Good job today. And keep us posted on the progress of the new book.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot. Scott Patterson, folks. He'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be in the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.